pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everybody. Okay, we have public comments. This period is devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be offered the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within the jurisdiction but not appearing to be appearing on this agenda, just wait until the comments by general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker podium. Clearly state your name and address. Please spell your name for the recorder. If any member of the board chooses to extend the length of presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or by the board by majority vote. Okay. Approval of minutes of the meeting?
From February.
Motion to approve.
Second. All those say aye.
Aye.
Approval agenda for March 13th, 2025.
I didn't put February on the minutes. I'm sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Yay. Article 5, informational items. Receive report from Indian Springs Library. And we have a new reporter tonight.
Not normally my job, but, you know, here we are. Okay. The library has Legos and lunch for the kids. Next Tuesday, March 18th at 3 p.m. is the last of the current Legos and lunch event for kids ages 5 to 12. The following Tuesday, they'll be starting Spring into STEAM. Join them for a different STEAM activity every Tuesday at 3 p.m. for the next 6 weeks. This program is perfect for kids ages 5 to 12 and their parents. AIM Hired, starting Thursday, March 20th at 3 p.m., they'll kick off their new teen and young adult program focusing on resumes, cover letters, and all things job and career focused. This is a 6-week program with each week focusing on a different aspect. Please see the handouts. I have handouts for you guys. Please see the handouts. We have all the different topics on there. Each bullet point is one of the week sessions. Teens and young adults can show up to whichever sessions are most applicable to them, though the sessions will build on top of each other. The first program will focus on basic cover letters, resumes, and career and job search assistance program called Jobtimize, part of the partnership with PBS. Next, they have their True Crime Headquarters. True Crime Headquarters event will be Wednesday, March 26th at 5 p.m. This is an 18-plus event for true crime aficionados. This is part of our serial killer knockout brackets. Justine is testing out doing two sets of matchups for this one. Gary Ridgway versus Andre Chikatilo. And then the Hillside Strangler versus Dennis Rader. On the paper I'm going to hand out, there's a little QR code that you can scan to see it. Next, you have Communication Through Art, Thursday, March 27th at 5 p.m. That is part of the family paint night where they do a read-aloud story and then set everyone in the family free to paint whatever they are inspired to paint. Next, you have free yoga classes. They've renewed their yoga contract every Tuesday between now and June. They have either chair or mat yoga. Waivers are required, but the class is free. They only request you bring your yoga mat for regular yoga. If you do not have a mat, please contact the library, and they'll have one available for loan. Note April 5th, Tuesday. Please note April 5th. Please note April has a fifth Tuesday on the 29th, which they'll host a sound bath. That should be nice. This class will include some light stretching and breath work, followed by a sound bath. Last, they have Customer Appreciation Day all day, Wednesday, April 9th, from 11 to 7. They'll have door prizes, snacks, and fun activities. Participate by stopping by, filling out a survey, or participating in our activities to earn raffle tickets. Some activities we have are hydroponic mason jar planting, shrinky dinks, ocean painting, and friendship bracelets. Your raffle ticket could win you one of their gift baskets, a hydroponic planter, or one of three gift cards. As always, all of their programs are free and open to the public.
Thank you. Awesome. Okay, report from Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department. We'll be here to give that report. A report from Metropolitan Police Department.
Hello.
Thank you.
There's one. There's always one. I'll keep doing it until someone says hi. All right. Give you some stats and then other things going on. Not a whole lot, so that's good. Since January 1st, proactive stops, 12. That's good. You guys are behaving, and our visitors are behaving on the freeway. That's good. And that resulted in 2 arrests and 6 citations and 114 calls for service year-to-date. That's a lot. We've been busy. I thought this would be a chill season. It has not been, but that's good. Busy's good. I know everyone had, I don't have a whole lot of knowledge, personal knowledge, on the situation that was brought up last time about the whole terribles and the camp, whatnot going on. I did speak with Jason Elf, the code enforcement specialist. He did do a site visit at the beginning of March. I asked for an update. I haven't heard anything yet, so I will stay on him.
Cool.
Looking at you, Michelle. I'll stay on him. So I actually sent out another email today asking, hey, the TAD today, are you going to show up today or provide feedback or anything else? So I'll keep being a pesky person. Last week, Metro participated and pretty much hosted the High Desert State Prison Tabletop. It does affect this area a little bit depending on the situation, what happens. And there was basically one major scenario thrown at us, and it kind of evolved and got worse and worse and worse until almost... terrorist warfare. It got a little silly at the end, but good news is there were no surprises, and we got very, very good feedback on the Metro side of things that we were very well prepared, especially our SWAT team's amazing. So depending on the different types of situations, and we have really great relationships with our other law enforcement partners, so it went really well. The other thing we had today was the Highway Coalition meeting. We're trying to start that back up, and in attendance was obviously myself and a couple of my officers, NHP, Forestry Service, Mount Charleston Fire Rescue, NDOT, and Clark County Public Works, and is just starting it back up. I guess this is the thing that we did before, a couple years past. We're bringing it back up.
What is it exactly?
So that was a good question, because that was my question before we started. And basically, it's just making sure that we're all on the same page. What is the plan if we have to shut down the 95? Where are we going to divert people to? How are we going to do that? Do we have the means to do that? Do we have the means or the structure for communication? Who are we going to call? When are we going to call them? How high does it go? A lot more stuff with the mountains since Mount Charleston Fire was involved, and that's usually where we turn people around. I'm not aware of too many traffic issues that occur here. So it was, like I said, it was the introductory meeting. Really weren't any surprises. Kind of is what it is, but it's just nice to put some names to faces and see where we go from there. The Highway Coalition is all they went with. It's like, sure, they tried the Winter Alliance. I'm like, well, what if we shut down a road in the summer? And so we went with Highway Coalition. And that is all I have.
Is that a monthly or is it quarterly?
Kind of as needed, but we did leave it as, let's try and say hi again every quarter just to make sure. There are no major projects coming up that aren't already known, so there's nothing really coming down the pipeline.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So she's one of my questions.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Is this open? Is this only agency only? Is it open to the general public?
Agency only. It was just a couple of supervisors from each department or from each organization. They met at our substation up there.
Would it be a benefit for... maybe not the open public, but possibly our leadership to at least get invited so they are aware of anything from a planning perspective and they can share it with us? Just a thought.
No, it's a good thought. I like thoughts because might not be thinking it. I invite everyone to come to the TAPS. I'm trying to get them to come after their shifts.
When you say invite everyone, we're talking about the other agencies, the three levels.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. If it's something that you would like
to
be...
What about the volunteer fire department?
From Mount Charleston?
From here?
Oh, we can invite them. Yeah. If it's something everyone wants to be a part of, then for sure.
Yeah, the moment 95 shuts down, that affects all of us.
Oh, yeah. That was brought up during the High Desert State Prison because one of the situations evolved into now there was an escapee. First there was a power outage and riots, and then there was an escapee, and that's kind of when we started drifting towards this way and, okay, how are we going to alert people? What are we going to do?
Well,
and
that'd be nice if they actually alerted people.
Yeah. It's a little different with me on board with the communication aspect, and it's, like I said, we were well prepared. I don't want to go into too much detail unless you really want me to. I can. But how we're going to communicate, how we would shut down the roads, how information would go out to the PIO right away, so all the social media channels will be blasted all at once.
Okay.
I know we have some, we're a part of like the Mount Charleston Uncensored Residents, and I know some of my officers are a part of other, you know, smaller groups on Facebook with Indian Springs. So
that kind
of
sounds like a wild group. I don't know why. Uncensored neighbor, like, I don't know, just my mind went the other way.
I just, I act like a nosy neighbor. I don't comment. I just read.
It's a good way to be.
I read and then I verify with my guys. I'm like, is this really happening right now? Like, oh, no, that's not what it was. So let me just write this down so I don't want to forget. So I don't know when the next one will be. We kind of mentioned quarterly, or if there's going to be something of substance to talk about, because it's just business as usual. There's really...
I'm kind of surprised that the Southern Nevada Fire Department, Clark County Fire Department, is not involved.
23 invites went out. I'm not sure who was all who. I don't have the list in front of me, but 23 invites went out, and we had about 6 people show up.
Because they have their main station down on DI that connects to everybody else. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it gets interesting with, because we kind of mostly deal with Creech up here for fire-related issues, and then obviously Mount Charleston Fire and Rescue kind of have their own thing. They are county, but they're not. It's kind of like my group. We're metro. They kind of don't think about us. We're out on our own, and that's kind of the situation of Mount Charleston Fire. But I will absolutely, and it was the board and the volunteers.
Correct.
At Station 83.
Okay, thank you.
So in the situation where you guys do need to shut down the highway, would you post it on, like, the Facebook in the spring and say, 95 stop is currently shut down?
I'm going to tell my officers to do it. I'm going to tell the PIO to do it, because I already asked them about starting up an official, like, Metro Run Facebook page or social media pages, whatever we decide to go with.
One was started to start. I'm not sure. It was looked into, I want to say, over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that one was created, and it never went anywhere.
Yeah, because I talked to Joe Bartels. That's he's on our PIO team. Great. And already kind of shot it by him. How hard would it be? Not hard at all. Questions were asked. Well,
who would be the?
No, actually, it's fine. It would just be me kind of communicating to him, because I'm going to get notified of everything. It's just me. I'm the only supervisor here, so everything will go through me. And then it's only one person calling Joe. That's it. So it would be me. His questions were, how much actually happens that it would be worth it to put it out there to avoid things like on the Facebook page from Mount Charles, kind of complaining, a lot of complaining. Legitimate complaints, for sure, some of them. So he said, let's sit on it for a little bit. Let's see how much we would have used it or wish we had it, and then he can start it right back up. So if there's interest in it from the public, which is like the 8 of you, I could say, hey, they want it.
The CERT team that we're trying to build out here in this town, too, that's part of the fire department.
Okay. What about this?
The CERT team?
Wait, which CERT? CERT means three different things for me, because we have three different CERTs.
Right.
My wife works for one of them.
Community Emergency Response Team.
Oh, okay, different CERT.
Right.
Okay. And what's the question with that?
Clark County. Well, if we get members here, more members besides myself and a couple others, growing,
okay,
then we're part of the fire department.
When okay.
They get notified. If they want extra people, then they and only the fire team calls us.
Okay.
And then that brings in sheriff. We can't do anything without their phone call.
So I'm for it. I think over communication is better than no communication. I've never gotten a phone call from a lieutenant or a boss saying, hey, how come you called me and told me this? But it's usually the other way around. How come we didn't know about this? So if you guys want it and you're pretty adamant about having it, it's not hard to get it started up at all.
Kind of like the bulletin board.
It is monitored. So I used to run the Northwest one. I don't anymore. We do monitor things. And then that in turn comes with the fine line of problems. Why are you censoring me? Why are you getting rid of stuff? And it's like, well, how do I prove it was vulgar? Because I can't post it again, or pictures. And so I would monitor that. And it's just, it's...
So we have one for the community here, for the community center, that it's not an option to even post on it. Only somebody that's an admin can post on it.
Right.
And we make our posts, and we automatically shut off comments, so nobody can even, like, there's not a chance of anyone even commenting.
Right.
That simplifies things for you guys.
Yeah, and then there's also the private messaging too, and just people aren't aware that that's not a police report, and then we find out things happen. It's like, you really should have called the police.
Well, you can also set up automated messages to where if someone does message you, the first response could be, please, whatever legal jargon.
That's actually what we ended up doing, because we got way more than what we were anticipating.
Right.
So. And so, was that your last question? You said you had two?
No, she got one of them. So.
And then you had one.
I answered.
Oh, okay. All right.
I love when that happens.
I guess. I'm here. Nice one.
I think the Facebook page would be good. Sometimes you get a jump on some of the local situations that could turn into something that shouldn't.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we had a situation. But go ahead and finish.
That was pretty much the extent of it. In those situations, because sometimes the lack of information, somebody will post one thing with no other information, and it tends to turn into a fire, and it didn't necessarily need to be that way.
We kind of did have a situation like that. At least it wasn't violent. So if you remember, if you were here last time, I mentioned, try to respect the officer's privacy at their house. This was kind of a different situation. The officer was getting texted a lot by one of the involved parties. And I don't know who they were. I didn't respond. I didn't solicit my response. But it was brought up that we're only getting one side of the story. Call the police. Get it logged. Those stats are so vital to me to get resources and helps. And that could have been another stat that approves, hey, in July, we're supposed to get that 10th body. See how badly we need them. I mean, look, we're already up to 114 calls for service in just, two and a half months? So text messages back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Come to find out, of course, we responded. My team knows that they need to respond. And when we respond out there, it's a completely different story. It is not at all what was said to have happened, because we had a class, one of our first Tuesdays at Northwest when I used to run those, and we had a communications class. And one of the things that was brought up is, it takes too long for the police to get out here. I agree, it does. Our dispatch center is fully staffed, but there still is really long call wait times, and we're aware of that. And I know it's just a totally different situation out here. Out here, we're dealing with the environment. It just takes a long time to get here, right? Hopefully we're lucky and someone is still here, because we've been pretty busy in Indian Springs lately. So what we asked and told the people, hey, don't get yourself in trouble by embellishing and saying things are way worse, because now you have an officer speeding, rolling code 3, it creates traffic issues, because traffic laws are written with the mindset that everyone is abiding by them, which means the flow. That means people know when they need to stop. And we're expected to stop. We have to follow all the laws, obviously, but when we have lights and sirens, things get bent a little bit, and we have to go faster and try and get there because we're told, they have a gun or this or that. Come to find out, absolutely nothing happened. And then we get the charge of people that made up all the lies and misuse of 911. Nobody wants that. We don't want that. So that was one of the instances that came up. Please call. Call, call, call. Don't call the officers. Don't text them, because, in fact, the officer was getting texted, wasn't even on duty, and now we're playing the phone game, and then we're calling dispatch, and dispatch is like, okay, what happened? Where are you? Who is this? It just makes it really difficult. It's easier just to go through the proper channels. Everything's logged correctly, and then we can also start responding with the appropriate resources right away compared to playing phone tag and, well, wait, what really happened? What do we actually need? So I'm glad you brought that up. Good point.
Welcome.
Yeah, because after our last meeting, 2 days later, a neighbor calls me and says, hey, can you get a hold of one of the officers? I said, no, you call 311 or 911. You decide on what it is.
And it's not just Indian Springs, still working on the mountain.
Yeah.
It's training period.
When they had the helicopter buzzing the hills right here, and then they went around by the prison, was that your class?
How long ago was this?
Like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. because they were right behind my house, and they just sat there and like faced the mountain, and they moved over, and then we were out shooting the next day. Well, I mean, we were out in the hills the next day. And the helicopter was in that area too, you know? Yeah, we just thought it was interesting, because they'd kind of like look at the hill, then they'd move over, and... Like
so at that tabletop, SWAT did mention that they were doing recon, and they did do a tour. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was them. They're not going to tell us unless something was actually actionable or it was a call for service. They wouldn't tell us anything about that. There was a shooting. It's not ours. Further north on the 160, I don't know if you're all aware about the shooting that occurred. It was a road rage incident.
No.
I get woken up a lot. And then get told it's not my area. I'm like, oh, come on. NHP was asking for help. I really have no information because there really isn't information. It was a road rage incident is what we're told. The only person we could talk to is, unfortunately, the person that was shot through the door into the chest. They were life-flighted. As far as I know, they're still alive, still with us. We really had no information to go off of other than maybe a red sedan. So NHP called us, asked for help, asked if we could activate the Indian Springs officers in case they went to the Terribles. No. So we don't know. We have nothing. But just in case anyone heard about that, the air unit might have been up for that one too. And that was, I want to say, when was my hockey game? Monday night and a Tuesday.
This was a Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, happy to be here. I'll hang out in case I don't have anywhere to be tonight. No more scheduled meetings or anything. So if you have any further questions, I'll hang out.
You wouldn't have to have the Highway Patrol report, would you?
They were at the Highway Coalition meeting. There's only one of them today. Sergeant Crawford's not coming because he's handling the 157 side or 156 side, okay. Shutting down the state route. So, but he didn't have anything to pass along.
Okay, thank you. Okay, no report from Preach. No report from the fire department.
Oh, it's me again.
Can we have the Clark County Parks and Recs person go up and report, please?
Dang! Most of these don't apply to you guys in here, but my spiel is my spiel. If you have grandkids, we have a toddler play date. Every Tuesday, we're back to afternoons from 2:30 to 3:30. It is ages 0 to pre-K. We are allowing them to bring their elementary school age siblings with them, though. We kind of ran into a conflict there when you want to keep it a certain age, but they have siblings. April 18th at 7 p.m., we have the flashlight Easter egg hunt for 11 to 15-year-olds. So we will go up to the ball field, we will throw out all the eggs, and as soon as the sun goes down, they can bring their flashlights and go look for some Easter eggs. I know you're too old, Bill. I know you wanted to come, but you just missed the cutoff.
I want to know why you left out great-grandkids.
They can come, too. What is the great? They can come now. We have a springtime bazaar. Normally we only do the holiday one. This year we're having a springtime bazaar. Saturday, April 12th from 9 till 2. I will tell you that we have like 20 tables that we book out usually, and I have surpassed that for the springtime bazaar. So wow. I expect a really good turnout. We still have pick a prize bingo. There's no charge. That is on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month at 11 a.m. The next one will be March 27th. Let's see. We have line dancing. We have the first class Tuesday night, the 11th. The second one will be March 25th from 6:30 to 8:30. We actually had a pretty good turnout, and everybody seemed to have a really good time. Quinn had a blast. So
I heard all about it. He's done it every morning so far.
Good for him. We also have the free income tax preparation for households with an income up to $70,000 a year. They're here Tuesdays from 9 to 2 p.m. We will be having Spring Break Open Rec next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 18th, 19th, and 20th, from 12 to 5, in the community center, ages 6 and up. They don't need to have a parent with them. And my favorite thing that I'm very excited about is on March 22nd, we have opening day for Indian Springs Youth Baseball. I've worked very hard to make this happen this year, so I'm very excited about this. The parade will start at 4 p.m. down by the post office and end up here. And the first game is at 5:30, our T-ballers. And the Station 83 will be doing concessions. That's it.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Planning and zoning.
Administrative services.
Yeah. Oh, administrative services. I am sorry about that.
That's okay.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Michelle Barrett. I'm the liaison for Commissioner Becker, and I'm excited to be here tonight on this beautiful, snowy evening. Few fun things to let you know about. From last time, there were a number of photos that were submitted in regard to potential code violations, and there were two cases that were opened. And so I don't have updates on that, but I know that by the time they got out here, I know that two cases were opened on those. And with that, I would like to remind you that we do have ways that you can report, either right online through the app, which is called the Fix It Cock County app. You can do it on the website, or you can actually download it on your phone, which I had done, and it took about 10 seconds. And it allows you to go ahead and report any violations, potential violations that you see. And so you can take a picture, and it'll automatically go in. It'll then email you back a case number, and it'll give you updates for what has transpired from that. So it's a great way to at least document it a little bit better and have some follow-up, and then it gives, kind of like as Kevin says, call 311, call 911, so we have documentation, we have the numbers. Same kind of thing for code enforcement. They have then that documentation. They've got ticket numbers that they put on that, and then you're getting updates on it. Okay? Yes?
And that's what I want to reinforce, too, that you will sometimes have to call code enforcement because Google doesn't have the addresses proper, or the location is a vacant lot, or it's BLM land, or the other. So your app doesn't cover those areas as well.
Thank you for noting that, because that is one thing I was going to also say, is that you have to give the best location that you can. And I know even some of the ones that came through to us, they're like, can you give us an address? And I'm like, they were like, I can get you the corner of this because I can't even see an address on the property, we'll just say, through
but
things.
The assessor's website is open to the public, and if you can get as close as you can probably get a parcel number, which might be helpful.
There you go.
But that's what the code enforcement will do for you.
Right.
Because it's hard to search through all that to be able to be productive. So, for your normal citizen.
Believe me, I am learning myself on still everything, Open Door and File 360 and all of these things. So I hear you loud and clear. There is, just down the road a piece here, Loa Cairo Canyon. Their CAC, so that's their Citizens Advisory Committee, has a vacancy. If you know anyone kind of in that area, we are still accepting applications through April 1st. So I can actually send, I think I might have sent it. Let me go ahead, I will send a link. So if there's anyone that you know who lives in the lower Cuyahoga Canyon area and might be interested in serving in that position, they can send in an application. So we are looking for that. Speaking of Facebook, I actually did start a Facebook page just for this position. Jamie was my first friend that I went to, and same thing, trying to look to post information. I think you kindly also got me on some of the local pages here, so I know about all of the yard sales and fun stuff that's going on here in Indian Springs. But if there's any other groups that I need to know about or you would like to add me to, or if you want to communicate through that to me, that's another avenue that you can do that as well. And with that, posted today was actually one of our first events we're going to be doing at Mountain Crest Park, and we're going to be doing a free microchipping for pets, and that'll be on Saturday, March 29th, and that'll be from 10 a.m. to noon, and then from 1 to 3 that same day, we're going to do a spring festival. So kind of what Tracy had said, I love the flashlight egg hunt. That actually is kind of fun. But we're going to have games and bounce houses and food and drinks while supplies last. So if you want to meander down and come join us, you're all welcome. And last but not least, and saving the best for last, and I wish Kristen was here because she had inquired about this last time in regard to your park and the improvements that are supposed to take place. So this is the update I have as of yesterday. There was deliverables summary, 1/2 mile, 10-foot wide, AC pavement walking trail with mow curb and LED path lighting, nature play area, shade shelter, with picnic tables, barbecue, trash receptacles, with lighting, interpretive and educational signs, and distance markers embedded in the trail surface, fabric shade structures over new nature play area and existing park playground with lighting. The design is 100% complete as of March 6th, so that's just like 10 days ago or so. And the project is in pre-construction. They are working on obtaining permits. Construction is scheduled to be completed later this year. Fingers crossed. See schedule below. Construction notice to proceed, April 1st, and I hope that's no joke. Construction duration, 180 calendar days. Substantial completion, September 27th of 2025. Final completion, October 26th, 2025. So I wanted to give you that good news because I think that that had been something that's been asked about for a long time. I actually even sat in one of their meetings with all the construction people and concrete and all of that. So fingers crossed.
Yes. That's exciting.
I was going to say that's straight from yesterday, straight out of the horse's mouth, Indian Springs Park Improvement. So this. Snip, blah, blah. Don't make me say that twice. But any questions?
Just a review about how the entrance way will not be paved, so it'll still be dirt road. Okay. I was wondering if you could give a phone call to NDOT or to Las Vegas Paving, see if they have any leftover crumbled blacktop from our road job being done in McFarland. I know they spread it all out on the Baptist Church parking lot, most of it. But
I heard
see piles of it in the new, you know, the what do you call it, the sand pit quarry going to town. Mm-hmm. So there's still piles of it in NDOT, you know, sand for their pit. And if they could donate their blacktop chips up here to our park, that'd be awesome. So you won't have the dust flying. They're putting it all along the berm of 95. What a waste. Because it will all wash away in the next wash, you know, in the next flood. But they're putting it all along the berms of 95, and it could be used up here by our apartment.
Okay. So blacktop chips for park entrance.
Yeah.
I heard something about that earlier, didn't I?
They did it for the Baptist Church. They just didn't know that it could be used up here at the park.
Oh, they knew.
All
of that was supposed to come here. It wasn't supposed to go to the Baptist Church, but, you know, somebody railroaded and backdoored a little one and wound up over there. It was actually all supposed to come up here. So what we do have back here, the little we have, we didn't get that from LVP. The county actually came out and brought it from somewhere way down south because, yeah.
So that's actually not
all. I was going to say, I got that little tidbit before the meeting, too.
Not from here. So, yeah.
Was there any update on the sign coming in that was supposed to be through, I think, NDOT as well?
A sign?
It should be on your list from last meeting.
Oh, that one? Okay, yeah. I'll look at that and see.
Yeah, it was the, like, Welcome to Indian Springs with all the businesses. Like, that's been ongoing.
Okay.
I get emails about it all the time.
Got it. Anything else?
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the walking paths. Are you going to guys focus on that in the future? The walking paths?
For what?
The one they're going to build back here?
No, the streets. For people to walk on.
I haven't heard about that.
Like in Lovendale, humans walking instead of sidewalks.
Are you asking that for?
It's kind of like dirt paths. I remember you mentioning it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So walking paths for our public to walk on.
Yeah, like the kids and stuff.
Please, because everybody thinks they need to walk on the blacktop now that it's new.
Yeah,
but not sidewalks.
Right, because we still want to stay rural, so we like that it's waved.
Okay.
But the mainly the kids and people that walk their dogs tend to walk in the street because the side of the road is, you know, large rocks and isn't the easiest to walk in. Okay. And with more traffic, you can see where the problems.
Do we have anything planning or anything zoning?
No, there's nothing.
Nothing on that tonight. General business? Review the bylaws?
Review the bylaws.
Are you going to present the bylaws? Hold on just a minute.
I thought it was. Hold on, let me just double check. That's my bad.
We might have to move that to next month.
I was
going to
say, yeah, we're going to have to move that.
You want to move that to next month?
Yeah, yeah, please.
Okay. So let's go to comments by general public. Period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker podium, clearly state your name, address, please spell it for the recorder over there. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of time of presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or a vote, majority vote of the board.
Anybody like to take the podium? Okay.
Yes. I'll talk
as I go if I don't
have anything. Application form. Here we go. Jamie Brown, J-A-Y-M-E, Brown like the color, 217 Winston Lane, Indian Springs. Just to let you know, they sent out another application to condense more of condensed housing. So, you know, everybody says they're going to do what they want to do anyways, but I believe in food fight. If y'all oppose, the numbers do count. And I will make copies of this and hang it up in the post office. And if you want to email them with your concerns with that APN number that's on there, please do. April 2nd is when they have their meeting down there. So, you know, when you give these developers an inch, they always take a mile. Thank you.
I looked at the board too. Thank you.
Anybody else? Oh,
my name is Fred Anderson, Charles Frederick Anderson. I go by Fred. I'm at 1010 McFarland. My mother is Barbara Anderson, who some of you probably know. They lived here since the 80s. I bought that from her years ago, and I'm going to start wintering here, although I go in the summer to Minnesota, and it was almost warmer in Minnesota today than it was right here, and more snow here. But I wanted to just get some advice or just throw out this construction challenge we're going to have over the summer with TD Powers, the people that are doing the GreenLink, the big transmission line. You've seen the activity further south on 95. Well, now they're going behind the mountain. And the NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act study that was done, that was required for BLM, requires them to have dust prevention. So they've got to spread water all behind the mountain. They're dumping water to keep the dust down to protect animals and plants, which I think is great. But what's not included in that plan is how to protect the citizens of Indian Springs. Because we have a water tank at the water department, and the water department folks are great, I'm not bashing the water department, but they have a tank there, and the water trucks are just starting now to take water from that tank and go behind the mountain. They'll be dumping that water out there. What's not included in that study was how do we protect children who are walking to school on that blacktop. So just what you said, I see this every day. These water tank trucks are coming down McFarland, they fill the tank up, then they go back to the highway, and then they go around the mountain you know, kind of from 95 and other places. So what I don't understand is why the fire hydrant they're using is like in the middle of town. Why couldn't they have use a fire hydrant on the edge of town or someplace that, you know, wouldn't cause a danger to children? And then environmental, the dust. That is just kicking up dust. So here they're watering out in the desert, but, you know, we're getting dust in town here. So I've been... What's that? Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of it because anybody that is doing any work in this area, they have to purchase the water in the basin.
Right.
You can't put them up on the highway because you can't interfere the flow of traffic. Most of, we chose that area because it gets them off the road, so you're not impeding the traffic.
The road.
We also were trying to control and create a safer environment. Now, it's not just one company. There's a lot of people. I think we have 4 or 5 applications of people asking to purchase construction water. Yeah. So we're trying to come up with a plan that we have to.
Yeah, and I think all that's great, but I think it would.
We have to. They have to have a fire hydrant that have access. We don't want it up by the school. You know, so we're trying to find good, safer areas. You don't want, our roads are so narrow. You don't want a fuel station on the road for any traffic.
So yes. But there are
we're taking all that in consideration. Yeah. Right now, that is the biggest area for trucks. You have to have an open area so they can come in, fill, make their turnaround.
Yeah.
But and they have to, and the water and the dirt there.
Well, I haven't seen that yet, but there is a lot of dust. And I don't know. I've been trying to find out from the county, did they have to have a permit to do this? Was there a safety plan and an environmental plan?
Yeah, they have to.
Well, maybe you need to request they dust, spray water around the area. How about that?
That's why they're hauling water, you guys. Because they're required.
Where they haul the water from, spray that area.
They are.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what I was going to say. And I understand what you're getting at because we're very limited on where you can do it.
Right.
But the idea of what you're getting at, obviously, is it you, Barbara Anderson, or something?
Yeah. Everybody knows her.
Yeah, if there's something that can be mitigated by just wetting down that area, they certainly should be able to do that without a problem.
Yeah, that would help. But there's
right across the street.
But there is also this issue of just all the traffic and the kids walking to school.
Sure,
this is a challenge,
walking
on McFarland, and that's not the best situation. Yeah. So that's
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Will, I'm going to do this first, then I have a question for you. Afterwards. So we have a CERT team, a community...
I'm sorry, can you state your name?
William Dean Brooks, 789 Elon Lane. That's B-R-O-O-K-S. Thank you. We do have a community emergency response team. It's very small. We'd like to grow it this year. We are supposed to have a class July 19th and 20th. That's Saturday and Sunday. It's all day, each day. You learn first aid, a few other things like that. We're going to have papers like this that will be coming out by next month that explain the whole thing, how to sign up, who to contact, Cheryl, who's the main person here in Clark County, for getting on the CERT team. If we have a full CERT team, 4 to 6 to 8 people, and what I would really like to see myself, since I'm I'm not going to say leader, just the person here, more young people get involved. People close to ending high school, getting out of high school, who don't have a whole lot to do. Well, these CERT teams, as you've seen, will be downtown when there's 200-300 people in a big parking lot and stuff doing first aid. You might just be the person with the gashed leg being part of the program and stuff. But they will get you involved, and get some of our teenagers involved in this kind of stuff, give them something to do. And then they might be part of one of your programs, stuff like that. So this is something we're going to push. I'm going to push really hard this year to have a bigger class and get more people involved. Yes, you do go down. You must, I'm not going to say must, I'm sorry. We talked about this last year. You have to go down, get certified. They're going to check your background and all this stuff. Well, they do have, and I'm missing the word at the moment, we can sign if me, Tracy, get called out and this other person gets called out. Let's say they got a little something on their background where they can't go downtown and get fingerprinted. I can sign, have them sign a waiver for me while we're down on the highway, and then they can get out of their vehicle and get a little flashlight and watch traffic for the firemen or for the police department, stuff like that. And then they get their waiver, they're done with their job, they get back in their car and they go home. And so we can kind of bypass the fingerprint part, as I've been told, for certain people. And if they have, let's just say, a felony or something like that, and a fingerprint deal is not going to happen for them, we can bypass that, I have been told. So I may be wrong, but we're going to work on that. And if we can get more of our young people doing this sort of thing, get them away from doing some other stuff they shouldn't be doing.
Like getting felonies and not being able to be fingerprinted.
Right, right. So that's what the CERT team is all about. And it's been here for a while, but hasn't been promoted a whole lot. And this year we're going to promote it a bunch. Okay. Any questions on that?
I just think the key to that is to remember that, like, if we have an emergency in Las Vegas, we can be dispatched to that emergency.
We can be dispatched to
anywhere.
Southern, all of Clark County. We can wind up in Moapa.
But we can be, if we're in other places, correct? Like if we're in Florida and there's like a hurricane or something happens and they need people to help them, they can approve us being dispatched in that state to help them.
Yes, and if a person becomes a CERT person and you're in Florida and something like that happens, you don't take your car down there and whip out your little flashlight and put your little vest on and start your gig. No, not until Cheryl from Las Vegas calls the right authorities, and that authority calls you because she just gave them your phone number. You never, ever act on your own. So that's part of the CERT team member. That's what that's about. Okay. So my question to you on the water. So that's right in the middle of town, and I can see what the gentleman's talking about with the traffic on the road and everything, plus the water trucks. We already have that huge water truck coming down our new blacktop and stuff. I know. I'm not going to go there with you. But I would like to ask you, is there a fire plug sitting down there at the old base housing?
That's not ours.
It's not yours.
You can't use that. It's the bases.
Yeah,
it's the government's.
And if there was any way that they give you permission to use it?
Like, we let in at the Shell, there's too much, or at the Terrible's, there's too much.
Yeah, there's too much traffic there. I got that.
Can't put a fill
okay.
Station in.
Well, that was the only place I was thinking where there's no traffic.
Here on McFarland, we'll take it. Here on McFarland at the end, by Winston, there's a hydrant there. And there's a big wide berm in front of.
No, you're on the private property then. So, yeah, at the moment, it's at the best place it can be.
And we're trying to limit, you know, we're trying to, I mean, and believe me, we're not just randomly, you know, we're trying to find good areas. We also have to take in consideration, if you have a fire hydrant right up next to your house, I'm trying not to let somebody come up and hook up to a fire hydrant to do a fill station.
Right.
And we're looking at one at the end of Boulder because there's a group that wants it over there. But I'm trying to take it all into consideration right now.
Okay.
Right now, I know right now the safest I felt is if you have a place, they're not turning around on the street. They're pulling off onto.
Right, they're not obstructing the traffic, really. Right.
Yes, I mean, you're not going to prevent water trucks from driving around in the town if they have to, you know, get to places.
Right.
I mean, so that right now, that's the best option
mm-hmm.
that we could come up with.
Right.
But, I mean, I got a lot of them, a lot of different people wanting to hook up.
Okay.
So, I'm trying to...
Well, I just came up with that one spot in my mind, so...
I'm just, we were going to see maybe the Baptist church.
All
right. But that's not right now.
They'd wind up tearing up that new black one they put down.
I mean, there's so many considerations that you have to take into,
Yeah.
What if we set up a stand tank?
Every company has their own stand tanks. Stand tanks take a lot of space. A lot you have to be able to pull in underneath them. You have to be able to do this, and you have to be able to do that. We're not talking about a construction site where the water's staying right here. Like these are good. They put one down
right
there.
But the stand tank gives you the ability to fill faster, and you can 3 minutes.
Okay.
I have a timer.
I give myself an extra 3 minutes. Thank you. Yeah.
Where it's at right now.
Do you guys have a stand tank?
No, we don't.
Okay. Why don't we discuss this after?
It's all on the meeting. It's all on the construction.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for the extra time. I appreciate that.
Okay. With all that done, okay. So everybody's done with comments and so forth? Okay.
Just in case folks, if anybody doesn't know me. Alex and Shannon. 15445 Innovation Drive, San Diego, California. Hi, everybody. My name's Alex. I recognize a few of you here. I've been to this board a few times, going back to last September, I think was the first time I got here. I'm representing EDF Renewables. We're hoping to build a proposed solar and storage project about 5 miles west of here down Highway 95. It's important for us to have open communication and hopefully a good relationship with folks in the community. So. That's why I'm here, and I'll be here in the future every few months or so, if not me, someone from our team. If you don't know about the project, I'm happy to stay after and chat with you about it. Otherwise, I guess, speaking since it's a hot topic today, we will need to procure water for dust depression, just as those folks do. Our plan is to actually build a well on site, so we will not have to have trucks come in and out of town. So hopefully that's a plus for the project there. And then otherwise, the only thing I wanted to share with you all that I'm really happy and excited about is that we just set up a $5,000 scholarship for the high school to take effect this year. So this graduating class of seniors, it'll be up to five eligible seniors that have an interest in energy. And it's for college or trade school, so it doesn't have to be a university either. And hopefully we'll be here. I think they'll do a end of year ceremony or something like that. So we hope to be there for that as well. So just good things I wanted to share. But I'll be here after. Oh yeah, happy to take questions.
In addition, it's been talked about all along, right? For quite some time.
It's been a very long time.
Age before beauty.
Age before beauty. Well, I had my hand.
Go ahead.
Mr. Frank,
go ahead.
Let me answer my question. In addition to the $5,000, can we add an intern program to your company?
For the
students that don't qualify or don't get the $5,000, can you add that onto your list?
I'll look into it.
Thank
sure.
you, sir.
Of course.
All right.
Yes.
Are you hiring locals to do any of the dirt work?
That's our plan. We hope to. I guess, construction won't be starting, if all goes well with permitting and whatnot, construction won't be starting in earnest until mid-2027. So it's going to be quite a while before we're actively looking for positions of all sorts. But I guess, technically, the way it'll work is we will hire a construction firm called an EPC contractor, and then they will do most of the hiring for the workers. But we can certainly, we pay them, so we can influence and where they source their workers from to the extent possible.
Okay. So if they have a job fair at the high school, you could attend your company?
Certainly. Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a good, positive way to approach our community.
Thank you for the suggestion. Yes.
Once upon a time, I do believe you were looking into, we spoke about the Gemini project and the stands that the solar panels were on.
Yes.
Your company was looking into something similar, but it was a very complicated issue because I believe the metal or the design, something was proprietary and only mm-hmm. one company made them, mm-hmm. which you were attempting. Is there any progress on that? I was just curious.
Yes, a little. So we've issued actually what's called a request for proposals for said EPC firm, so the construction company, and in that we are giving them all of our requirements that from the BLM in hand have given us to minimize the amount of grading that we're doing and otherwise minimize the total amount of land disturbance in every possible way. In order to accomplish that goal of minimizing land disturbance, technically, it's a proprietary technology for the piles that embed the solar panels into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's our view that that will be the best solution to meet these disturbance minimization goals. And so we've communicated that to these construction companies. We're awaiting their bids right now. And they
awesome.
Will propose solutions to us in order to meet all of our requirements.
Wonderful.
So we assume that they're going to say they want to use OJO, and then we're going to work with them to make sure that we can. That's the name of this pile technology is OJO, O-J-J-O, if anyone's interested. And then, so we will be getting bids in a couple months, and we'll go from there.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And your RFQs are currently listed on your website?
The RFP, no, it's between us and a handful of major construction companies, kind of direct communication with them. It's not published.
One last time.
Sir?
We talked about the dumpster out here.
Yes.
Doing that stuff.
We're still open to doing that, but we didn't hear from you, so
we're running into a mess on that, so
okay.
We'd like to present some other object.
Sure.
Project.
Okay. We can chat after this, or now.
And this has been brought up to you before.
Okay.
But this is our pictures. This is our items.
Okay.
And we're looking at two. Either
oh.
one.
Okay.
And that's for this building here.
Okay.
I'm going to say put a hold on that.
Oh,
that
might come from the accountants too.
Ms. Freezer?
Bear with me.
Okay. Yes.
Awesome.
Okay.
Just hang on to that for a second, Alex.
Yeah,
very well.
You can hang on to it. Yeah. I'll say hang on to it, but yeah, just.
We'll chat after. And any further questions? I don't want to take up everybody's time.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All right. No other business? Okay. Next meeting is April 10th, 2025. We are adjourned. Thank you.
So the public does not matter, and the public does not matter. Oh, the meeting was Republic, so we're looking into something that came up. And
yeah, there was a lot of complications.
That's where you just said about the complications, I think, so that's where
oh,
I was
yeah.
like, I know
the
that's
dumpster?
On the list, so, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, so we had approached our boss.
Health department.
Yeah, so we had approached our boss, and he forwarded it on to you and someone else.
There we go. Okay, so Mike Tate.
Yes.